praise the Lord. Hallelujah. When you come here to this ministry, listen to what we are saying. Don't concentrate on the anointing. I'm so challenged by the depth of knowledge. How long has this man been listening to us? He has finished the book of Revelation. He has gone into eternal security that many of us here cannot explain. He has finished the doctrine of the past serpent seed. He has finished Godhead. He has finished everything that God sent that servant of God, William Branham, to us to restore. Ah! Praise God. Praise the Lord. Romans chapter 12. Verse 1 and verse 2. Let me read it. Apostle Paul. He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. You see? That you present your bodies a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice. You know why he used the word living sacrifice? You are alive. Every sacrifice is supposed to be killed. But yet, you are offering yourself a sacrifice, yet you are living. That means you are going to live a life, a sacrificial lifestyle. What is this sacrifice? What are you to sacrifice? If you don't know the meaning of sacrifice, you won't know what to sacrifice. Sacrifice is something that you give out unto the Lord. For God's sake, you give it. You offer it for God's sake. For God's sake, offer some sacrifice. What did he say? Holy. Acceptable unto God. Which is your reasonable service. There's a scripture that says, amen, that anything that is not of faith is sin. Anything that is not of faith is sin. What does that scripture mean? Anything that you want to do, hallelujah, and you are not doing it because of a conviction, because, you know, you are convinced. If you are doing it like that, it will not be acceptable before God. That is the meaning of that scripture. It must be that you are not doing it. That is Romans chapter 14, verse 23. And he that doubted is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. The statement there is said, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. That's why he said, present yourself a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable, because that sacrifice must be acceptable. And that sacrifice is only acceptable if you are doing it from a conviction. Not because you want to please your pastor, please your husband, please your wife. You are doing it, and it is only that type of sacrifice that anywhere you are, you will stand and defend it. No situation can make you change, because it is from a revelation, from a conviction. And that is the type of sacrifice that is acceptable before God. So if anybody here, you have dropped your earring because you are going to blind assembly, not because of a revelation that a Christian in this age should not put that thing on. Continue wearing it. But don't wear it to the church. Continue wearing it. And God will honor your faith. God will know that this one is sincere. God hates hypocrisy. God hates hypocrisy. Continue wearing it. If you jam me on the road as a pastor, and but don't tell me I'm your pastor. Just say, Pastor, Pastor Moses. I'll say, God bless you. Don't call me Brother Moses. Oh, say, Pastor Moses. I'll say, how are you? I cannot be your brother. My sisters don't wear trousers. But I'm a shepherd. And a shepherd can sometimes watch over his sheep, and some goats can come and join. He's still shepherd. But no brother. Continue. One day God will let you know that it is not poverty that is making us not to wear those jewelries. It's a revelation. It's to take revelation. It is winter now. In Europe, in America, in the Western world, it's winter. Serious cold. And yet, there will be sisters that will dress different. I was just telling a sister, Sister Sandra from Belgium. I was discussing with her. And then she told me, she said, that the winter season is longer than the summer season in the Western world, in Europe. About only 3 months or so of summer. The remaining months of the year is cold. And I told her, I said, God designed it that way. During this 3 months summer, if you travel, you go abroad, come and see how they walk naked. What happens? It's still hot. It's still hot. It's hot. They wear ordinary pants and they are walking on the street. Common. Very, very common. I said, so that they will dress and cover up. God gave them very cold weather. The remaining part of the month, cover yourself. Then allow only 3 months for sun to shine some more. Somebody told me one time, Brother Owen in Italy. He said, look at them. We are walking. He said, look at them. He said, that is the reason why. He said, the men have seen too much nakedness on the street. So they are no longer attracted to women. That's why they are now attracted to men. And I agree with him. What again will be attractive now when we are seeing you naked every day on the road? So what is he unsure? Why is he chasing you for when he's seeing it on the street every time? So they decided to turn to men who cover up. So it must be by revelation. Verse 2, Romans chapter 12. And be not conformed to this world, church. It is a commandment. Be not conformed to this world. Hey. How do you study Bible? Be not conformed to this world. Don't follow this world in their lifestyle. We are in this world, but not of this world. I am continuing with the topic, separation to unite. That's what I'm talking about. Because all this testimony is speaking about separation. What that lecturer wrote is talking about how he got separated. That woman from Texas is telling us, Sandra, how she got separated. You uncle, what is your testimony? How has the Lord separated you from this world? How? You see, let's read on. And be not conformed to this world. But what? Be ye transformed. Transform from the word transfer. If it is transfer, it means you are moving from one place to another.
Transform.
Don't be conformed.
Conform.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You are not to be conformed, but be transformed. To what? Amen. You are to be transformed by what? That is where it starts. By the renewing of your mind. By the renewing of your mind. See the reason that you must be transformed. That you may prove. What is that? What? Good. And acceptable. And what? Perfect will of God. That you may prove. You may show. You may confirm. What is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God? That means, whatever you are doing, you want to be sure that it is according to God's perfect will. And what do you use to confirm whether the things I do now is according to the perfect will of God or not? It is the Bible. It is His word. It is His word. Blessed be the name of the Lord. God does not want us to mingle with the world. There must be something about us that will make Him to show forth in among this dark and wicked world that He has His children on earth here. And so, the process of separation. God sent Jesus Christ to separate us from the world. That is what the cross is all about, is to separate, is separation. So last week we looked at the parable of the wheat and tares and how they mix together, but there must be separation. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In Matthew chapter 3, verse 11 and verse 12. Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. John the Baptist. Listen carefully to what he's saying. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Verse 12 is my emphasis. Whose fan? Somebody shout fan. You know what a fan is? Whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor. His floor is his church. And do what? And gather his wheat into the garner. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Listen. I am talking about separation. And I pray that somebody will understand as we go into the depths of the mystery of redemption. Like a farmer that is, uses the farming language, terminologies to make you understand salvation. Like a farmer, we go to the farm and gather the harvest. Amen. When he goes to gather the harvest, it is likened to God Himself now. He gave a type. First and foremost, He gave us a type in Egypt. When He called Egypt, sent Moses to bring His children out from Egypt. The Bible says He went for His own. Pharaoh, let my people go. But when they left, the Bible said they were a mixed multitude. That means it is only not only His people that came out. It means some Egyptians who loved them too much will have followed them. And some of them who did interracial marriages also, those women will follow them. And among those who were going, there may also be Jews, but they did not believe in that message that said they should come out. But they were following like lost wife. With the body, but their heart was still in cucumber and garlic in Egypt. So the Bible gathered all of them and said they were a mixed multitude. The same thing, hallelujah, the last parable also, in Matthew chapter 13, of the fishing net. He said the kingdom of God is like a fisherman that throws his net into the water to catch fish. What is he looking for, fisherman? Fish. But that net, will he catch only fish? Any other thing inside that water, that net catch, it will drag it to the shore. But every fisherman knows what he went for. And so, after they come to the shore, there will be a separation time. You must understand this to understand what we are preaching about. The same thing also, the gospel that has been sent forth. He said, for God so loved the world that whosoever. And so it catches all manner of people. The same thing with the ministry. And that is the reason why every age had to have God's word for that age through his servant. And William Branham's message also, the same thing. It caught all manner of people. Follow into this message. How can somebody hold this Bible and look at a Gentile saved by grace and call him God? And say he's absolute. He's infallible. He's a mixed multitude. But now John says that he has his fan in his hand and he will thoroughly purge the floor. Now, I'm going to say something. Those who will catch it, they will catch it. Listen. I'm going to say it. I called Pastor Thomas one day. I said something. I called Pastor Weston one day. And I said something. I want to say now. And Brother Chris Bemu, last week or so, in my house, I said the same thing. I told him, I said, do you know that there is no scripture that you can use to tell a sister not to put neck chain? Neck chain. I have scripture for earring. But there is no scripture for neck chain. That's why I say, listen carefully. Praise the Lord. And even the scripture for earring is contestable. Because in the Old Testament, you see earring, they are spoken positively. And in some places, spoken negatively. So which one will you hold? If you hold this one, then we hold the other one. Do you know there is nothing in the scripture you can use to stop somebody from drinking alcohol? In fact, there is something you can even tell them that they will drink it. Amen. He said, give strong drink. So he says strong drink. And so this one, only small percentage. He will tell you that the Bible is only against getting drunk, not drinking it. Hey, I know what I'm saying. Praise the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. So what are you saying? Why are you telling our sister not to wear neck chain, not to wear this one, not to wear this, not to wear jewelry? Why are you telling them? Why? Praise the Lord. Listen, church. John the Baptist said that Jesus Christ, he has the fan in his hand. Listen, church. This God that we serve, he is a master in the game of chess, in the game of cards. We are on a card table. You have your cards. God has his own too. There is a winning card called Joker. Hallelujah. There is a winning card in the card game called what? Joker. When you are playing card and you discover you pick a joker, you leave it at the end. So that when you think you are winning, then you will mess you up with that joker. Para. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Listen, church. There is a scripture that is standing before all of us. Look, John chapter 6. Verse 28 and verse 29. Then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might walk the works of God? This is the answer. Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. Praise the Lord. So now wait, listen. There is the written word of God and there is the spoken word of God. Do you hear me? Hallelujah. That is why I say, go and get the Holy Ghost. So that when the Holy Ghost is speaking, the Holy Ghost in you, the deep colored, there is a deep to respond. It's not everything that will be written in this Bible. And he did it as a joker. So that those who say, I love Jesus, I love Jesus, he's my friend, I will never. Oh, Jesus. Hey, Maramasotoro. Oh, the Lord is good. I love him. Love him so much. So much I love him. And God is looking at you. You love me, eh? You love me, eh? He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. You love me, eh? I'll prove to you that you don't love me. Listen, church. I told you people something. I said that when I first gave my life to Christ, I saw this entire message. My wife, I saw it before her. And now, here am I telling her, you cannot paint yourself again. You cannot wear those earrings. You cannot do like this. You cannot do what we used to do before when we were in the world. And, well, she had to obey me. And then, one day she asked me, so if they ask me, if I go somewhere and they ask me, I want to know the scriptures, I want to know what to defend myself. If my friends are asking me, why I don't wear a ring, which scripture will I use? And I told my wife something, I said, your own is very easy. You don't need scripture. Just tell them, this is how my husband wants me. She cannot. Simple now. Hallelujah. Sister, why you not wearing a ring? Oh, this is how my God wants me to serve him. And I should close any other mouth. Now you are the serve. Why do you want to go further? I say, if God told you to paint, that is your God. The one I serve told me, this is how I should live my life. And there should be no scripture for it. Don't show me scripture. I say he told me. Which scripture again? That's the problem we have. Hallelujah. That is the problem we have. Church, a true wife will obey the husband. And you are the wife of Jesus Christ, and you are arguing with thus saith the Lord, from a vindicated servant of God. Pentecostalism, we are playing with power, fire, anointing. And unknown to them, there is a difference between the baptism of the Holy Ghost and the anointing of the Holy Ghost. They were enjoying the anointing, but they didn't know they didn't have the Holy Ghost. Okay, if you have the Holy Ghost, then God, by his spirit, came in a man's ministry and said, see my joker now. It's now you will know whether they love me or not. All the women, he went to the area that is very, very precious to them. If Abraham is your father, then he's the father of faith. The only child he has. God told him to take Isaac and go and sacrifice. Do you think it was an easy decision? But because God said it, The Bible says he believed it. And it was counted to him for what? Righteousness. So what is righteousness? Righteousness is obeying God. Hallelujah. That is it. Righteousness is you carry your bag. You want to go to work. And the Holy Ghost tells you, don't go to work today. Go to so-so-so place and do this. Father, you spoke it. They will sack me from my work. But you are the one that gave me the work. Therefore, I will go. That is counted for righteousness. So, see, do you know that this entire message, it is the women, the thing hit hard. The thing that they cherish so much, painting their body, frying their hair, wearing clothes that will show them they are beautiful. Hey, sister, I just saw the message. The fiance was telling me. I was asking, how is she able to cope? He said, she's coping. He said, in her office, they laugh at her because she now dresses with a skirt that covers to her ankles. And they are saying, with these fine legs. You know, the sister has very fine legs. How can you be dressing like this? What did God give you the legs for? Did God give you the legs to be showing outside like a prostitute, Abby? The fine leg is for your husband. So that when he sees it, he will not be able to go out again. He will remain indoors. He will remain indoors. He won't go out. Not to show people outside. Say you have the Holy Ghost. Tell you, you wear cloth. God will use these Muslims and judge all of us. That we cover everywhere, only their nose do they see. Their eye, like masquerading, they go. Because of what they believe. And don't think that they are pretending over it. Because they try to put a law in France that they should know, because so that they will capture you, and they will know who they go now, if you commit something. There was a riot. They tried it here. Even Fashola, a fellow Muslim governor, tried it here in Lagos. There was riots. The people came out, the girls themselves, in a school, said, this is how our religion asks us to dress. And we have freedom of religion. You cannot force us. Uh-huh. And Christians, uncle, they are Christians, that you will see a Christian and a prostitute and you cannot see the difference. And the preacher is there to tell it, doesn't matter, you look good. And you don't know who he is. Be not conformed, but be ye transformed. And so, this thing about, don't paint, don't do this. Number one, who is the person saying it? Just this morning, I was telling Pastor John Paul, maybe. He said somebody brought a revelation that we should do what. And I quickly told him, I said, Brother John Paul, Pastor John Paul, you will soon go to the east to become pastor. Learn wisdom. There are some people that claim that they are gifted. And all the revelation they give you is action. Go and anoint your car 5 times. The Lord say you should anoint your car. The Lord say you should take offering and place it at the altar. The Lord say you should jump 10 times. The Lord say you should anoint the 4 corners of your house. The Lord say all they tell you is instruction. When they say gifted people come out, such people will also come out. What is your gift? That the gift be that. The Lord say you should change money and go to bus stop and give this one. The Lord say, that is all. You are not gifted anything. You can do that to blind pastors, not to me. You think that is what I will use to know that you are gifted? Show me where you see that gift in the Bible. So how will I know it is God that is speaking to you? So I told the pastor, anybody that gives you that type of revelation, hold it until there is another confirmation. In the mouth of 2 or 3, the matter is established. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now. But if it is a confirmed vessel, that you know he has spoken and it come to pass. He has spoken and it come to pass. We don't need a confirmation when he said, all of you, no come out from this place so, till 12 midnight. We're going to sit down here. We don't go. We don't need confirmation. Because we have already confirmed that God speaks through him. And if you turn it down, after God has confirmed to you that he is his vessel, and you go, God will show you that he is truly speaking by his spirit. So it is in the ministry of William Branham in this age. He came as God's joker to show the denominational Pentecostals who think that they know God to know that they only had the anointing, they did not have the anointer. If you have the anointer, then that's what William Branham said. If you meet a woman that God is using mightily, healing, deliverer, prophecy, mighty teaching, he said, and then you want to confirm whether that person has the Holy Ghost or not. What did he say? His language. He said, give him the word test. That is, he said, open the scripture. I permit not a woman to teach. So you usurp authority of the man, over the man. He said, if it is the Holy Ghost that woman has, and she's been operating in error, it will be opportunity for the Holy Ghost in her to confirm it. But if she said, get out, what are you saying? He said, that is evidence. The person is anointed, but does not have the Holy Ghost. How can you say you have the Holy Ghost? A vindicated man like William Branham tell you, this is thus said the Lord. Put the jewelries away. He says, thus said the Lord. You want to ask, where is it in the scripture, Abby? That is his joker. Why are some responding and dropping it? That was the joker. So that those who are approved may be made manifest. So that you will know who has the Holy Ghost and who has the anointing. So you know who is just religious and those who are truly want to go to heaven. If you truly want to go to heaven, you want to see a vindicated man that you are sure is a man sent from God. Anything he tells you to do, you will do it. You do it. And what is it? What will it pain you, cause you to stop wearing earrings? To stop wearing trousers and dress like a woman? What does it cost you, sister? Not to palm your hair and do that nonsense things they put on the head. What does it cost you to stop coloring your finger, nails, leg, and down? No, say it now. What does it cost you? The only thing it costs you is your desire to look like a Nollywood star. That's it. So it's too costly for you. It's too costly. Too costly. Too costly. Because you desire to look like one of those Nollywood stars. And now they're telling you to drop it. After all, it's in the heart. It's not what I put on. How do they know somebody is a prostitute? Is it from the heart, you know? It's from the heart, you know a prostitute, Abby. How does a prostitute tell everybody who she is? It's by advert. But you know that there are some men that if they see a woman's breast, any part of the breast, they will be charged. So she will design the cloth and put a V here. And wear some cloth. Then she will go to brother. She will come to Prophet Joseph's office for counseling. And when she comes, she will not go and sit down. She will lean on the table. Brother, God bless you so that you can see. Brother, God bless you. And Joseph will enter spirit. Shakara Masoto. So it's not in the heart like that. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. When you see a sister that is going to church where you will worship God and worship Him and be lost out in the Spirit, and then she chooses a sleeveless dress and she does not even wear brassiere. No, they do that. It's what is in the heart. It doesn't matter what you put on. And then they go to church. Oh, let's lift up our hands. Anyway, you can't even walk in the church because we have separated you from them. Open it for your sister to see them. We separated the brothers here from you. Open. Until in this church that coordinators don't allow certain sisters to sit in front. They take them back, even if they are the first to come. Because they are sitting with dresses that are above their knees. And they know that Prophet Joseph and the prophets, they will soon come and prophesy. Then they sit down in front and open their leg. It's wrong. You know what you are doing. We shall continue next Sunday. Create in me a clean heart. Bow down your head wherever you are.
Oh Lord, I renew right spirit within me. Create in me.
Create in me a clean heart.
Oh Lord.
Renew thy spirit within me.
and it says, God said it. I believe it. That settles it. God said it. I believe it. That settles it. Don't ask me to explain any other thing. Leave me to serve my God like that. One of these days you will know when we get to heaven. You will know. You know why I took the stand I took. A sister who gave her life to Christ throughout her marriage with her husband for years. The husband saw her as a mad person. Every day, church, 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 prayer, prayer, prayer. The man joined himself with a Rosicrucian and all this. He died sometime last year or so. And the sister was sleeping like a dream. He said the man who was still in the mortuary came to her, tapped her physically, and told her, now I know why you are serving God like you were serving. He said, now I know why. And I know that sister is watching me now, wherever you are. Now I know why. But why do you have to die before you will know? And now it will be too late, for it is appointed unto man once to die. After that is judgment. And nobody knows when you will die. Now you know why she's serving God. Because of where you have found yourself after you died. That is why salvation is a personal thing. Stop comparing yourself with anybody. Not your friend. Whether your colleague in the office or anywhere. Be focused. And don't be part of any distraction from your pathway of righteousness. Don't listen to any other gospel. Let nobody try to change you from what you have decided to be. What's your problem? What do you want me to change and be like? Am I bearing the same name with you? You bear your name, I bear my name. Why are you worried that I am dressing like this? Go to those Muslims now and tell them to stop wearing those things they wear. It's nothing. They know you are condemning them by the way you appear. That's why they will fight you, and if you refuse to change, they will cut you off. Yes, there must be separation. Can we stand up?